Hello, fellow doers and changemakers. My name is Monica, and I'd like to warmly welcome you to ISCA's podcast. We have recorded the following interview in the Integration of Refugees Through Sport project, which is funded by European Commission's Erasmus Plus Sport Programme. The project aims to empower people working or volunteering in Integration of Refugees Through Sport roles by offering in-person and online opportunities to meet, learn, gain recognition for initiatives, as well as connect with different organizations and clubs working with the same target group. You can find more information and resources on irts.isca.org. We actually have quite a few online courses on this topic, and those can be found at learn.isca.org. They are for free. Today's interview is a part of an online learning course in which one we're sharing good examples and practices from various organizations and clubs throughout Europe. Today, I'm hosting Wim from Flemish League of Athletics from Belgium. Let's hear what he has to say about working together for bigger impact. So I'd like to ask you to briefly introduce yourself to our listeners and maybe share with us what is your motivation to work with this target group, so with refugees.
So my name is Wim Poelmans. I'm from Brussels, Belgium. And currently I work for the Flemish Athletics Federation. I work in sports for development. And my motivation, actually I'm a social worker. So I studied social work at university. And only by coincidence, actually, I came into in the sports sector. My first job was in Molenbeek in Brussels. So after graduating, I applied for a job, and that was for an organization that already organized sports activities in the neighborhood of Molenbeek. So I became sports coordinator for that area in Brussels. And also by coincidence, one of the first things we started back in 2012, 2013 was a running group. So that was a project called something like movements, poverty and movements. And one of the activities we organized was also running.
Okay, so could you tell us a bit more about the organization that you're working in and what is the main focus of it?
So currently I work for the Flemish League of Athletics. It is the Federation of Athletics Clubs in Flanders. So Flanders is the northern part of Brussels, of Belgium. It's a federation. So we support right now 90 athletics clubs in Flanders and Brussels. We have about 30,000 active members. So in the main focus is support this athletic club, the volunteers, the people involved in the clubs, and also the competition part. We also have different activities focused on target groups. Like, for example, refugees, migrants, but also people with a handicap, for example. So these are specific target groups that has different policy inside the federation.
Mm-hmm. And what are the activities that you're doing for the refugees and migrants? So which sports it is?
So right now it's running activities. We organize for I organize in our project for refugees and migrants. So it's a project called Run Free. It's a European funded project, and it runs from 2020 until 2022. And we try to set up running teams for refugees together with the asylum centers. So it's always in partnership between the federation and the local actors like the asylum centers.
So could you tell us more about the Run Free project that you do? So I'm curious, of course, the activities is running, but so how do you do it? And who's your target group? Who are your participants?
So the Run Free project, and the main focus is actually to start running teams in Flanders and Brussels, always in partnership with local organizations and asylum centers. We don't want to force people to run, so we give the possibility to have the support of this project. So we talk to the the Federation of the Asylum Centers and asked who was interested. And then some centers contacted us. So the first step is always to go there and to talk to people to see who's involved, to see who wants to set up the running team. And get to know each other. So I visit a lot of these centers. And then the next steps are really setting it up, searching volunteers, supporting to finding volunteers. And those volunteers that can be the local community, that can be the social worker inside of the asylum center. But, and that's what we try to do, also refugees living in the asylum center who we coach to become, trained to become a coach of such a running team. We have some next steps. So we try to get them in touch with the local athletics club. We launched also some collections of clothing because sports clothes are very difficult very difficult to find inside an asylum center. So we need the local community to collect sports clothes also for refugees to be able to run. And then there's also the coach education. So we also have a very basic 2-day training for people who want to coach a running team. So that's the co-runner training. We organize these activities also inside of this training, also inside of the asylum center for social workers, local volunteers and refugees themselves. So it's a very mixed group of participants in this training session.
It sounds very holistic approach. I really like it how you have like connecting different things. So asylum centers connected with local organizations and volunteers and even refugees. And then also like educating the trainers, the coaches somehow, and the sport clothing as well. It seems you're tackling it from different perspective to actually have a a good impact, like so that things actually work. It's pretty amazing actually, like when I'm hearing about it. Yeah. I'm curious. So you mentioned that you work with the Asylum Center Federations of some sort, how does it work? I'm curious. How did you approach them? How did you convince them, was it hard to convince them to work with you to partner up? Because this is probably where you get the access, or let's say where you can connect with the asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm. It depends. So we have in Belgium, we have an agency, a government agency for the asylum, the reception of refugees. So we immediately contacted them at the start of the project, and there was a meeting with all of the directors of the different asylum centers in Flanders and Brussels. So we introduced the project, but one partner is also in the project, is also Miner & Daco. It's a different type of, it's a local NGO, different type of reception. They only work with youngsters. So, and they're also involved, they're also partner in the project. So working with them is easier because they have a sports coordinator in the local NGO. So setting up running teams inside Miner & Daco was a lot easier. With the federal agency, it's a little bit more complicated, but it's because we have now many local contacts, it starts to get easier. But they don't really have a person responsible only for sports activities inside the agency. So you have to contact different people, try to work with the headquarters of the agency, also contact the responsibles of the NGOs. So Miner & Daco, also there's the Red Cross in Belgium, there's Caritas, there are different services for the reception of refugees, and finding the right people, that's not an easy task. It's sometimes you have to use your network to get in touch with someone new in the local reception center. It's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, it seems you're actually overcoming these challenges quite well. So you started in 2020, right? And now you mentioned that it's getting easier throughout the project, because I guess also they know you and now they know what you're doing, and probably it's easier for them also like to cooperate. I'm curious, what are the other partners of this project? So you mentioned the asylum center and Imindare Ndako. I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly. Could you tell us more about the other partners and what are their roles? What are they doing? So we can maybe understand a bit more what partnerships are needed to make things work.
I think it's very important to have always a mixture of expertise. So you have the asylum center. They have an expertise in the reception of refugees. They reach the target group. You have the athletics federation. So as we have an experience in everything that has to deal with sports. We Mino and Dako, they have the experience with young refugees. And then there are some less, some other partners involved, but less involved in the project. So we work together with, we work together also with Haas van het Nederlands. They organize training, Dutch education for migrants, newcomers in Belgium. So we use their expertise for everything that has to do with coaching, sports coaching in the local language. There are some other partners involved. Like we have a network of sports for development organizations in Flanders. We work together with them sometimes about everything that has to do with learning from each other, different techniques. How can we set up projects? How can we learn from other NGOs? So these are the main partners, actually, and the mixture of expertise is very important, because it is a challenging when you're setting up something new. It is challenging to develop these activities, so you need all of them.
I can definitely agree with that. Yes, the more brains, then they know better, right? So then together we can make it work. I'm curious, what were the challenges that you faced or maybe still facing, like from the beginning of the project and until now, and how did you tackle them? How did you like address them?
The first challenge was of course COVID. So in 2020 we launched the project, and then there was a lockdown. So that was a major challenge, actually. How did we tackle COVID? We didn't tackle COVID. We still tried to organize activities. So we launched an online challenge on Strava together with FEDASIL, so the federal agency for the reception of asylum seekers. And that was the challenge we launched was actually run together to the Ecuador. And people could participate with Strava. They could participate on paper in the local asylum center. So that was nice. That was not what we expected to organize in this project, but it was what was possible during COVID. And it gave people, I had the impression it gave people hope also back again. For people who participate was really nice to have something different than the lockdown on their minds. So we tried to at least organize something. And then once the lockdown was over, the main challenge inside this project is always we work on a local level, but the project is quite central managed, so from the federation. So getting in touch with the right people on a local level, getting them to talk together on a local level, trying to create links between the asylum center and the athletics club, both with very different cultures often, that is a challenge. So Yeah, that's why I try to go to visit at least the first time the center itself to get a feel of yeah how is the local community, how does it work, but then managing it from a distance it stays quite challenging, and yeah. Of course, online meetings help these days, but still, you need to get in touch. You need the offline feeling, because what we do is organizing sports activities. It is something offline, so.
Thank you so much. I wanted to actually ask you also about a little bit about the running teams. How are they composed? So would it be like local volunteers and refugees, or how does it work?
It depends. Sometimes, like you're in Brussels, we also use sports trainers, so paid sports trainers. So it's definitely with the reception centers. Some of the reception centers are only an observation center, so people only stay there for like 3 months, and then it's very difficult to find local volunteers. So sometimes it's the social worker, and they're two, three centers who where the social worker just organizes the activity once a week for the participants, and some of them is really the volunteers. So to a group of two or three volunteers that come every week to the center and organize the running team. And those volunteers can also be from the center itself, but the what works better is because refugees don't always stay very long inside the asylum center. Sometimes they only coach like half a year, and then we try to get in touch. I stay in touch with the volunteers and get them still have a link with our organization, so they can organize an activity once they move somewhere else, have a stable place to live. They can still continue the volunteering with a different center, for example. So that's we still try to get people to keep people inside our network to continue working with them.
Do you have maybe any examples or stories from like refugees that maybe have organized then their own running teams when they moved, or maybe even in the asylum center?
There are a lot of people who start actually here in Brussels with the running group, and some of these participants I'm still in touch with in Sint-Niklaas, for example, who continue running, continue sending pictures to us. One of them, one of the them who started running actually back in 2000. 14, 15 with us. He followed some education in sports activities with us. He became a trainer in our I with us for the running teams, and actually now he works for us. To have these people to invest in refugees, to invest in our volunteers, it really helps, because in the end they can still organize activities with us, become a coach themselves, or even start working with us. So it's not for all of them. Some people, we had, for example, two running coaches who were very active, so they got official documents, and then they found a job. So then, very often it's difficult to still continue the activities because some of them are during the day. But then we're happy also because they found a stable a living, a stable income, and that's also a success for us if people don't necessarily stay inside our network, but we're happy when they're in a stable situation. So
Yeah, I guess that's also the aim somehow, that they would be independent, right? And try to integrate as soon as possible in different ways and areas of life, and then maybe they will still come back with running or some other sports, right?
Yeah, and the advantages with running is that it is not really a team sport. It is something more individual, but you can do it and you can learn it in a team, in a running team. So once you've done it inside one of our running teams, I very often people just continue to do it by themselves if they found a job and don't really have the time to join the team every week or are not in a refugee center anymore. They continue running and they're integrated. They sometimes find a different running team, or go in a run crew. Here in Brussels, there's a run crew. It's a lot more open, so it's not really a club, but you can join anytime. So that's also networking and continue to do sports activities. And I think that is the aim, that people do sports activities, learn, integrate, connect with each other, and continue to do sports activities in the long run.
Definitely. So you mentioned you also work with the university. Could you tell us more about this cooperation and what is the area that the university is focusing on in the project?
So one of the partners is also a local university who does who helps us with impact measurements. So what we want to do is actually create a tool to measure the impacts of our activities, and they're helping us to set up this tool. So for example, how many running groups do we support? How many people participate? Did their network become bigger because of participating in this project, or not? What's the impact on the language? That's something we developed. We wanted to develop during this project. Of course, COVID delayed and gave us a lot of difficulties in the first stage of the project. So we're still in the developing phase of this impact measurement, but we hope to launch this at least this year, to have this tool and to continue to use the tool in the next years if we continue supporting the running teams.
Thank you very much. I'm curious actually now because you mentioned the future. Are there any future plans for this project? So it's ending this year, so let's see what the year brings. But is there any other projects coming up or maybe partnering with other organizations from, well, all over Europe?
Yeah, of course, the project ends in 2022. And for the moment, on a local level in Brussels, we have sufficient funding to continue the activities. In Flanders, it will become a challenge because to continue the activities there will be more difficult. And then I'm only talking about the financial part. So yeah, we hope it works. So we hope to continue it the next years. We hope to, yeah, continue. Maybe there are possibilities also in the neighboring countries, but yeah, it also depends on finance. If you find sufficient funding to continue the activities, then of course we will continue the next years. If it's difficult to find funding for these activities, then I don't know what we will do. That's a different challenge to tackle this and the following years.
Yeah, I think many organizations are having these financial challenges when you do lots of good things and then at some point we run out of money, right? But it's definitely an example that could be actually done in different countries, right? And the how you're partnering with different stakeholders and yeah, just partners and local centers. I mean, I think it's a very nice inspiring example to continue working and to try to get in touch with different stakeholders that are actually part of all of it. So yes.
Yeah, and the advantage is you don't need a lot. It's different than other sports where you need a field or you need a infrastructure. And with this project, you just need to connect people on a local level, organize the education, organize the clothing collection. And so you just need to people to support the running teams. So it's very easy to set up. But if you don't have this support on a central level for the local activities, then it's very difficult. And you see that people who work in refugee asylum centers suffer to organize it themselves because they don't have this expertise and they need the support to organize these activities on a local level. So continuing to invest in this central support will also help on a local level in Flanders, Brussels, but also abroad.
Thank you so much. So now I'm going to ask you, what are the three things that you've learned from this project so far? I guess there will be more learnings until the end of the year.
For me, on a personal level, it's cultural variety and all the different people from different origins, customs, eating customs, Syrian food, for example. So that's on my personal level. I find this very inspiring. I find this makes my life a lot richer, and I like this a lot. It's like traveling inside your own country. Definitely during COVID, it was an advantage to work with people from very different cultures. So that's definitely something that I've learned. Actually, the moment I graduated from university, it was for me an eye-opener. It was something I've never experienced in my hometown. It's so exciting and it makes your life a lot fuller. So, but what else did I learn? That it takes time. If you want to work with people who have a completely different background, who are in a difficult situation often. So take time, give people some time to grow, give people time to integrate, invest in people, and sometimes projects only last a year or 2 years, and don't worry, just do your thing, continue to do your thing, find solutions, and look at it on a long run. So don't try to do things on change things on just 1 month or 6 months. No, take time and continue to put effort inside this. The third thing maybe I learned is to keep going and to not give up, I think, because you face a lot of challenges on a daily basis. To continue to believe that it works, that it helps, and that even if you face challenges, just look for different solutions, contact new people, get other people involved, think outside of the box, and be very creative in finding solutions, because it looks very easy. Like we started in 2012 and now we're on a different scale, but the way to get here was with a lot of challenges and with a lot of out-of-the-box thinking. So that's definitely something I've learned in my professional life.
Mm. But now you're here, right? And now you know so much, you learned so much, and you have so many experiences that you can share. And we will all continue learning in the next years, right? There's always things to learn. Awesome. Is there anything else you want to share? Any specific message to the organizations or individuals that would like to do something or they're doing something connected to refugees and migrants?
Maybe what I would like to share is just I go for it. And if you want to set up sports activities, please do continue to organize these activities with and for refugees. Don't give up. Believe in yourself. Believe in your team. to set up these activities. And if they're interested in running and in running activities in anything that's related to athletics and refugees, yeah, please contact us, because I think it's very, I know some local activities in France, for example. There is in Finland, in Malta, there were some things. So I try to get in touch. It's not always possible, but just to know that other people are also doing the same and only following them on Facebook or on their socials, it also helps to find new ideas and to get your project going. So please get in touch, and maybe we'll work together in the future also.
Yes, connecting organizations and people doing good stuff and very similar things as well, right? Maybe, I'm sure someone is doing running somewhere in Europe. So
definitely, thank you. There's FLAG 21 also in Switzerland.
Yeah,
it's not really Europe, but
well,
it's Europe.
Wim, thank you so much for taking time, for sharing your expertise, knowledge, passion as well. It's so much appreciated, and having people like you around and working with people like you, I think it's rewarding. So let's hope we continue our work as well in the future. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for the interview also.